Boston was hit with some really good news and some not-so-good news today from the legendary Handel and Haydn Society, and on the line to tell us about it is Artistic Director Harry Christophers. Harry, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Henry.
Let's start with the good news. The new season, the 205th season for Handel and Haydn, has just been announced, and it is crazy good. Can you please share with us some of the highlights for this upcoming season?
Oh, well, it's as you say, it's full of wonderful highlights. I mean, there's the usual Messiah at just after Thanksgiving, which has become a sort of trademark of H&H. But we opened the season with a fabulous Mozart celebration. I'm sort of revisiting some of the works I did when I very first came, so Mozart's Mass in C minor, which is just an amazing piece. And to, you know, I think for audiences now to hear, you know, the progress we've made over the years, I think it's going to be pretty exhilarating. And we've got Bernard Labadie. One of the lovely things about being an artistic director is sort of, you know, the guest conductors I can invite over. And Bernard Labadie is wonderful, so his insights into Beethoven and Mozart are going to be really good. And then, I mean, we've got a continuation of our Mozart and Haydn series. We're recording the latest symphonies and masses over the next few seasons, and that's going to be wonderful. Christian Bezuidenhout. I mean, good wishes to him, because I gather he's still in a hospital somewhere in Turkey, poor man. And you know, we wish him well, and I'm sure he's going to be out soon. And then we've got the one of the greatest works of all time, Bach's Matthew Passion,
wow,
which is just phenomenal. And close with our wonderful Concertmaster Asa Noski, who just delights the audiences all over the world in the Vivaldi Four Seasons. So that's going to be, it's very special. So a lot of very well-known pieces, but also one or two lesser well-known slotted in, so that we're introducing people to new works all the time.
Programs like this do not create themselves. Where do you begin in creating a well-rounded program like that with the classics and with some new stuff that will wow audiences?
Well, it's always that blank piece of paper. You sort of look at a season and you think, now, what am I going to do? And it always starts with a kind of, you know, what major works do I want to put in? And for us, we have this wonderful benefit of obviously doing some of our concerts in symphony halls. So that has to be more established repertoire. But then we have the more chamber music series at Jordan Hall, which allows, you know, the players and singers from H&H to really show their quality. So that's where the sort of I'm not saying more interesting, the sort of more revelatory music appears, you know. So we've got some Bieber, Jean-Charles Pontier being performed, and that, you know, that's really exquisite. And I think the main thing for audiences for H&H is that, you know, whatever we're doing, be it a well-known piece or a less well-known, you know, with the well-known pieces, where I've always talked about stripping the cobwebs off the pieces, and that's what we do. So when audiences come, they hear things almost for the first time, and we put so much attention into, when we're rehearsing, into the detail, into the, you know, the sound spectrums, the nuances, if it's a vocal piece, the words, and how to actually bring across the message of what we're performing, whether it be sacred or secular.
Sure.
And I think that's the excitement.
How often, if ever, do you look at what H&H has done, not in the recent past, but in the way back in the early days of the society, as opposed to only looking forward to the future?
Well, we do a lot, because, you know, the whole fact of when Handel and Haydn started over 200 years ago, it was a society that was bringing the old and the new. The old was Handel, the new was Haydn, because he'd only died, you know, a few years before the organization was formed. So we're very much carrying on that message today. But I had great pleasure a few years ago of recording a CD which was called the Old Colony Collection, because what people forget actually about H&H is that when it started, it was not only a musical organization, it was also a publishing company. And, you know, when we were, you know, burrowing around for, you know, for the bicentennial, we found these wonderful sort of the decaying leather part books of collections from sort of 1817, 1820, 1823 of sacred music that was sort of the staple diet of everything here. And strange enough, it sort of related to everything that was happening in England at the time. And when I mentioned some of those composers to people in England, they think, Who's that person? We never heard of him, because you know things moved on,
Sure,
and
yeah.
later composers took over. So it was really interesting delving back, and you know the whole fact that H&H premiered so many well-known pieces. We were the first people in America to premiere Messiah, to premiere Haydn's Creation, Bach's Matthew Passion, later things, Mendelssohn's Elijah, Verdi Requiem, and so the list carries on. So we've always been that sort of pioneering force, I think, and it's been lovely in my tenure to be doing one or two Handel oratorios that we've never ever done in
Right.
200 years.
Does the fact that you have 200 plus years of history behind you with this organization, does that increase the weight that you have on your shoulders when you're on stage?
Oh, no, I it doesn't actually. I mean, it's I just feel I feel you do feel the legacy, and you feel very proud to be part of an organization that actually is in many ways the envy of the world. It's not just the envy of America. I mean, there are very I can't. I was racking my brains when we got to the bicentennial, thinking, you know, what other arts organizations, what other music, what chorus and orchestra can actually boast 200 years? And I could only come up with the Leipzig Gewandhaus, because really, I don't think there's another organization in the world that can boast what we have. So that's it's something I think we feel all feel very proud of on stage. And as soon as we're on that Symphony Hall stage with an audience of over 2,000, you know, we feel, you know, we feel rather proud. You know, we've been here a long time. Luckily, we, you know, we're the younger members of it now, you see.
In my introduction, just a moment ago, I said there was good news, and I also said there was not so good news. And I'm going to try to put a positive spin on that not so good news part. And that is that after 10 years with H&H, Mr. Christophers, you have two more seasons. The audience has two more seasons to enjoy seeing you at the helm. Why? Because you are passing on the baton.
Yes, I mean, I've as I say, I mean, I've had 10 years here. I will have been here 12 years altogether, and I feel very strongly that arts organizations have to sort of reinvent themselves and just think about, you know, what they're doing, what the future holds every 5, 10 years. And when I came, I made a conscious decision to concentrate on our namesakes, on Handel and Haydn, and really develop the orchestra and chorus in a very stylish way in the Baroque and early classical. And I feel very proud of what we've achieved through that. And so now I think it's time to just hand over that baton, as you say, to somebody else who will have their own ideas, who will have their own ideas on programming and repertoire. And the lovely thing about being an artistic director is that, you know, my own programming for my own concerts reflects my own loves. But what H&H has done for me is to reveal somebody who I didn't realize was a love. I mean, and that person has been Haydn. I've always been a big champion of Handel's music, and you know, I've done that with my own group in England many,
Right.
many times. But Haydn, not. You know, I conducted a few symphonies with the BBC Philharmonic up in England, and one or two with other orchestras in Europe. But I never really actually delved into Haydn with a period ensemble. And here with H&H, I've got that at my disposal here, and I've got wonderful, wonderful musicians, and it's been a total revelation and a total joy for me. So, you know, the next person who comes in will have their great loves, and also hopefully also you know, a composer that may not have realized that was going to have such an influence on them. And so I think, you know, it's good. I mean, I'm now, you know, I'm in my mid-60s. I've got a lot of work to do with my own group back in England, the 16. And it's also, you know, time to. I mean, I've enjoyed my whole musical career. I enjoy music making. But I'm also a very social person. So, you know, I just want a little bit more time to enjoy my social life, my love of all music, not just classical, but you know, my great love of Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull and all sorts of people. Ben Folds, you know, I was so pleased
For the
when
holiday performance,
WGBH did the holiday. Yes, I could have. You know, when the office was asking me this, you know, they said, "Now we've got this guy called Ben Folds." I went, "Ben Folds? What do you mean? Rock in the Suburbs?" I said, "Yeah, I know all about him." So I was so chuffed about that, and so yeah, and I just, I as I say, I'm going to have time to enjoy. my other loves, but I'm not, obviously I'm not retiring from music in any way, but I'm spending a little bit more time with my own group. And
Right.
I mean, so delighted by the challenge of being invited to be an artistic director of a very well-known American organization. And it's been a great honor and a great privilege. The thing is, I've got another 2 seasons to go, so I don't feel myself retiring just yet.
Well, with 2 more seasons to go, let me guess, go out on a limb here and take this guess. You now get to program and perform the music that has been near and dear to you throughout your career. Is that correct?
Absolutely so. Yes, couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, well, I know that it's absolutely correct there.
Right.
I'm doing all my great loves, and just coming up next month, in March, I've got some more Purcell, and Purcell is one of the great loves. I was introduced to Purcell as a chorister at Canterbury, and I'm so pleased about doing Dido and Aeneas this season and taking that to the Met Museum, the Temple of Dendur in New York, and that's going to be very special.
Is there a favorite room or venue that you absolutely love to perform in?
Oh gosh, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it, really, Henry? While I'm here in Boston, I must say, we're blessed with one of the finest concert halls in the world. And so to not only perform but get to record, I mean, as we're doing this weekend with the Haydn from live concerts in Symphony Hall, is a great honor. But it's almost something more than that, because what you have in Boston is you have a great music-loving public. They know a lot about the music they're coming to listen to, but one thing we've done with H&H, we've also sort of widened that age range. We've got a lot more younger people coming to our concerts. It's a great delight having them there. And I hope in our music making that what we're doing on stage, we're really conveying that to the audience that's sitting there listening and getting their, enjoyment of music, their release from a hard day at work or trials and tribulations of everything that's happening in the world
Right.
today. And this day and age when we need the arts more than anything else.
Well, Harry Christophers, with 2 more seasons to go, I would just like to say, on behalf of the entire city of Boston and beyond, I'd like to thank you for so many years of great music and wish you well through the next 2 seasons and well into the future. And I thank you
Oh.
very much for joining us today.
You're very kind, Henry. Thank you so much, and thank you. Thank you, Boston.
Thank you so much. All right, Harry, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.